One of the most talked about performances of this theater season has been Tyne Daly's portrayal of Maria Callas in the Broadway revival of Terrence McNally's Masterclass, a fictionalized version of the actual masterclasses Callas gave at Juilliard in 1971 and 72, a few years before her death. In his review in the New York Times, Ben Brantley called it one of the most haunting portraits I've seen of life after stardom. It's on stage at the Manhattan Theater Club Samuel J. Friedman Theater until September 4th, and I'm very pleased that it has brought the Emmy and Tony Award winner Tyne Daly back to our show today. Hi.
Hi.
The role was originated by Zoe Caldwell in 1995. She won a Tony for it. Did you see that?
I did. It's one of my top five experiences in the theater. I was absolutely ruined by that play and by that performance and by that production. So,
because actors often will tell you, I'm so glad I didn't see it because then I would have that in the back of my mind. And then there was also Patti LuPone and Dixie Carter, who replaced Zoe Caldwell. There was Faye Dunaway, who was in the national tour. This is something, they're very different kinds of actresses, and yet...
Well, it's a great role. It's a great big bite, you know, and actresses are greedy for things like that, so we're actors. But it's also a beautiful play, and I think that we've found in the play something for now. That's the point of reviving stuff. You know, you breathe life in it because audiences who haven't experienced it before need to come.
We opened with something by Maria Callas. Zoe Caldwell didn't sing in the original production, but you do a bit of singing in this version.
There's a moment of singing that's built into the play, and it's described as a very embarrassing and terrible moment when she sings like a crow, you know, when she exposes herself as having no voice, which wasn't literally true. She could sing better than, you know, 85% of people probably when she was in her grave. But I mean, she was an extraordinary musician and a great talent.
And we hear her singing actually alone in certain portions of the play and realize just what a magnificent singer she was.
Well, my director, Stephen Wadsworth, who's a wonderful director, said, don't try to sing badly. The other thing that you can find out in the moment is that once upon this time, this woman really did do that job of being an opera singer. So it's just to some small phrases. In the real classes, and the classes that I've observed, too, oftentimes the person who's conducting the class will sing along with the singers, either an octave lower or, you know, to demonstrate.
You have a reputation for playing blue-collar, down-to-earth women, which I assume is a legacy of all the time you spent on Cagney and Lacey. Won 4 Emmys for that. Not a bad legacy. Were you surprised when Terrence McNally asked you to play Callas?
Yeah.
They did it last year at the Kennedy Center.
We were at the Kennedy Center with a trio of plays, a Masterclass and Lisbon Traviata, and a new play that Terrence wrote called The Golden Age, which is about a famous opening night of Bellini's. So they were a trilogy about opera, and it was a lot of fun. But went by very fast, so it was a great deal of work for a very short number of performances. But yeah, glamour has not been my big job requirement.
But so did he have to talk you into it?
Well, I was very flattered to get, you know, to be called up by the playwright and say, I think you're the one to do it. Is, you know, that'll tweak you up a little bit. I told him I loved the play so much when I saw it. I asked him to read it again because I think he was making a terrible mistake. I read it again and off the page, it moved me so yeah.
Well, you did the glamour very well.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's you know, it's been interesting. It's hell having to play a diva. You know, you have to have massages and have to get your nails done. You have to have lots of scented baths and things. It's awful, the prep.
To get into the mood.
Oh, goodness gracious, it's just ruinous.
Well, this isn't the first time you've played a character based on a real person. You won a Tony for Gypsy. But
well, I'm a famous person.
Callas is a lot more famous.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will remember seeing her. They don't remember Mama Rose.
Callas can be proved. To play somebody famous means you can go and look at pictures of them and see films of them and listen to recordings. But I don't think the play is meant to be a documentary. So there's a requirement to sort of represent the woman somehow. But then it takes off from there, I hope.
Well, Terrence McNally has said that he did take liberties with the character.
Yes.
There's a lot more humor in her than in the real Callas. How much of that is in the script and how much is in your performance? Because you can get a laugh from raising an eyebrow.
Well, she works the audience. You know, the audience is another member of the acting company. Breaking the fourth wall and appealing to the audience was another interesting trick to do. I once did a one-woman show. I've done a bit of cabaret, which was in prep for this, to get rid of that fourth wall thing.
And this play begins with breaking the fourth wall.
Absolutely, yeah. There is no
fourth wall.
You talk
to the audience as though we are people watching the class, but the audience that I was with seemed to be a little confused. They weren't sure whether you were talking to them directly or to the class.
Maybe it takes a little getting used to. It's an interesting conceit, but I remember laughing a lot with Caldwell. People have said they're surprised about the humor. I think Terrence's clue for that was that she's funny because she is humorless. So she reacts to other people laughing like, why are you people laughing? This is inappropriate that you're laughing, which is again funny.
And then she tries to tell jokes.
Yes, she does.
And the jokes are usually not funny in their own right. They're funny in the fact that she's told them as jokes.
Yeah. Hopefully the humor comes out of character rather than gags. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that I would think is the best kind of humor for an actor to have to deal with, isn't it? Because, you know, one of the things that bothers me about current sitcoms is that everybody has to be a comedian. Everybody has to have a one-line zinger.
Well, there's a certain amount of vaudeville and rhythm in vaudeville, brum-bum, you know, the rim shot. That's fun, too. But this is a little different.
What about her voice and speech patterns? Did you listen to her recordings?
I have listened to her, yes, but not for a long time. Once I caught on to a couple of stretched vowels, and there's this overlay of class that sometimes comes with an international career. So you can't quite identify whether it's, you know, Italian or French or German or it's all sort of mixed up and kind of elegant.
Or American. Her background is really quite complicated. She grew up poor, partly in New York City, partly in Greece, and then, of course, she lived in Italy for many years. Yeah.
She was born here, and she was here till she was 12. Those are some pretty important years.
That's when you develop your basic accent.
Yes, and then she overlaid it. There's a couple of times when her Washington Heights escapes from her mouth, which is fun to do, too.
And then she, as you say, there was this overlay of an upper-class accent, and that's because she was an opera singer, and opera singers are very concerned about diction.
Yes, and image, especially in those days, I think. So you know, she went back to Greece, but she trained in Italian, and then she lived with a Greek, and they spoke Greek together. You know, she came by her pastiche, honestly, I think.
My guest is Tyne Daly, who plays Maria Callas in the Manhattan Theater Club revival of Masterclass at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater on West 47th Street, is it?
7.
Right in the corner of 8th Avenue. She, as we said, she gave the series of master classes at Juilliard in the early 70s, and they've been recorded.
Yes, not filmed, but you can hear them on discs.
In an article in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, music critic Anthony Tomasini points out that the real Callas wasn't as brutal as the Callas in the play.
No, I don't know. She's sharp and she's impatient for sure, but again, the play is not a documentary. It's not meant to be an imitation of anything.
And during the course of the play, we see three young students played by Alexandra Silber, Garrett Sorensen, and Sierra. Is it Bogus?
Bogus, yes.
Come in for some pretty withering critiques from Callas. They all have wonderful voices. Are they trained opera singers?
Garrett is, absolutely. He's played at the Met. This is his first acting gig, though. He's our newest member of Equity. So he's charming on the stage. Sierra Bogus did The Little Mermaid, and then in London she did the prequel to, what do you call it, to Phantom of the Opera called Love Never Dies, and was nominated for an Olivier. And Miss Alexandra Silber is a wonderful singer and person and brain. She's a brainy kid. She's written a book. She's got a contract for two other ones, so she's quite interesting. But
and she also
claims
has a
she
real
learned
flair
all this
for comedy. As
yes,
well.
Yeah, she's got great. She's got, but she claims she learned all of her singing off of YouTube. So it's probably true. However, she's training now. She's gotten kind of interested. She makes a beautiful sound. The trouble is, I don't let her get much singing done. Maria doesn't.
Well, there are a lot of singers on Broadway who started off training for opera and then switch into musical comedy for one reason or another.
I think in the other way around, you find out where you're very young and you have some kind of talent. You find out sort of where your voice lives or where you want to, what fields you want to plow.
What was your response to Tomasini's article? Do you think that it's fair to critique a play for whether it portrays something that was historical accurately? I'm thinking of also something like Frost Nixon.
I'm a very old actress. I've been acting for 50 years. I don't read reviews anymore, nor do I
read
the articles.
You don't read reviews, really?
I have them all collected by the nice PR people. And after the thing is over, well over, then I read through them just to check. But I consider it, it interferes with what I do. So, no, I don't.
A lot of
I read them later because I have a big ego. I can't completely not read them.
And you know most of the reviews have been very positive.
Oh, you can tell, dear. The phone will ring or not. The theater will fill up or not. You can tell whether I said to the kids after you know, the opening night and stuff, I said, well, my job has just become 38% easier because everybody's been told that it's working. And so now all we have to do is prove them right.
But a lot of actors have told me that they don't like to read reviews because even the positive ones will have a negative effect. A reviewer will say something like, Tyndale really gets a great laugh when she delivers this line. And then that night you have to go out there and deliver that line with that thought in the back of your head. And you'll never do it right again.
They're very seldom useful, in my experience. Useful, I mean, to the job at hand. Maybe later. Maybe you can find out some things or have your feelings hurt or have your ego stroked. But either way, it's not so much for the benefit of the actors.
You do single out members of the audience. Are you really looking at people or is that just looking at a space?
So hard to come through there. Yes, I'm really looking at people. Sometimes they're more difficult to see. It's a combination, I guess.
McNally, as you said, is an opera fan. He wrote Lisbon Traviata. Stephen Wadsworth has directed many operas, including the New York City Opera, La Scala, Covent Garden.
The Met, he did the Boris Godunov, saved the Boris Godunov last year. He did Iphigenia at Tauris. He works with the Juilliard students and the Met singers.
So to some degree, was he being the Maria Callas of this play and saying, well, this is the way it really is?
Well, he knows a lot about that world. And, you know, so do the people who come who are opera singers. It's not only for opera people, but he definitely knows that world. We had worked together on the Agamemnon, you know, classic Euripides in the West. And he'd also worked on a Marivo with my daughter. So he's a very smart guy, and he knows a lot about the opera world.
And you've also sung in the past. You were Mama Rose. Do you wish you were singing more here?
Not for this one. Depends on the assignment, you know. It is fun to sing, and I did fall in love as a kid with musical comedy. That was what I thought was the ideal, not the movies or TV. So I've gotten to do precious little of it, but it's fun.
She, the Callas character, often tells people that they have to have a look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking about the photograph on the playbill,
yes,
which seems like a kind of a merging of you and Maria Callas. It's based on a famous photograph of Callas.
Yes.
But was that important for you, getting the look?
Sure. When I talked to Terrence on the phone on the 5th of July, 2 years ago, I said, you know, Terrence, I don't know anything about the opera. I don't know any Italian, and I have no look.
And you have to speak a lot of Italian here.
It's quite a lot of Italian, yeah. That coaching was heavy. You know, so you learn how to do it. I mean, that's part of the fun after doing it for so long is having some new assignments.
And do you think that you actually know any Italian, or you just know the
lines
in the script?
No, I know how to quote Italian. I know how to quote some French from another play I did 100 years ago. Everything I know from the theater. Everything I know about medicine, I know from playing doctors. Everything I know about the law, I know from playing lawyers. I'm an actor. I played a homeless woman, and I was asked by the United States Senate to come and testify about homelessness. And I said, are you people out of your mind? I just spent 4 weeks pretending to be, come on, for very good money. This does not make me an expert on the subject of homelessness.
This is something that that actors have talked about quite a bit, people confusing them with the characters that they play.
Well, you want them to do it when they're in the theater, but not so much after.
Well, it means that you've been effective.
Yes.
They really believe that you are that person. On the other hand, it can get very confusing, I'm sure. Soap opera actors often used to talk about walking down the street and somebody saying, "Be careful, Meredith is trying to stab you in the back."
Well, it's sort of professional schizophrenia, that's true.
The class scenes are interspersed with scenes of Collis reminiscing about her career. And these are long monologues, also about her famous relationship with Aristotle Onassis. Do you have to switch emotions completely when you're doing those scenes?
Well, the play takes place in two places. One is in the classroom and one is inside of her head. And she is distracted into memory in a way that happens. I think of them as arias. I think that Terence's skill and love for the opera has made him build a play that's quite operatic. It has duets, it has trios, it has, arias, solo arias.
And I think that we can say the play is about a number of things, celebrity, but also the sacrifices that people have to make if they want to be true to their art, or some people have to make. In the case of Collis, she felt that very strongly.
Or feel they have to make. That is good. I remember a generation of actresses saying, this is Katharine Hepburn and Lillian Gish saying, actresses can't marry and they can't have children. Their focus has to be entirely on you must be a nun to the theater, which I thought for about 16 minutes until I caught sight of my husband.
And Katharine Hepburn did spend an awful long time with a pretty famous actor, so.
Yes, but pretended she didn't. And it was all very clandestine and very romantic and I'm sure very dramatic. I have gotten old enough, so I want drama. I want to be paid for my drama. I don't want drama in my life anymore.
Well, there are those actors who really carry what they're doing into their everyday life. Jeremy Irons talked about having to separate from his wife when they were appearing in something together just during during the rehearsal period.
Yeah.
But other people talk about it being able to leave it at the stage door.
Again, I think it depends on what the work is. I used to call it the bleed. You bleed into the other life and all that. Sometimes you feel it's necessary. It's not really great mental health, Leonard. But, after a while, I don't think I have to carry my job with me all day long, every day anymore.
Well, you're obviously not, at least here, as much of an egomaniac as Maria Callas was. The run of the show has been extended twice. It's now slated to close on September 4th. Is there any chance of another extension?
Not with the Manhattan Theater Club. They're, they're subscriptions, so they really have to let. And I also have another assignment, so I've got to move on too. But it's been a good ride, and I'm delighted that we're playing the extensions.
And what will you be doing next?
A musical.
A musical?
A new one.
You're not going to?
A brand new one. Never before seen. We're trying it out at New Brunswick, in New Brunswick, New Jersey, at the George Street Theater. And it's a book by Brian Hargrove, and the music is Barbara Anselmi, and the director is David Hyde Pierce.
And are you already working on that while you're
I go from you to do a presentation of it in about 25 minutes.
Is that kind of like doing repertory? Non-actors are always very curious about how an actor can be in one play one night and another play the next.
I think everybody's been an actor. Every human being has been an actor when they were a kid. You can play cowboys and Indians and turn around and then play, moms and dads or doctor.
Well,
yeah, you can play more than one game at the same time.
Well, you can see Tyne Daly at the top of her game now through September 4th in Masterclass, which is at the Manhattan Theater Club at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater on West 47th Street, just off of 8th Avenue. And I want to thank you so much for being with us. And we're going to go out with Maria Callas singing Costa Diva from Norma by Bellini.
Thank you. Gracefully done.